Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Thursday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. I'm your host, PJ Glasser. Great show for you guys today. We got the college football playoff finally beginning tomorrow. Caroline Fenton going to join us to give her thoughts on all four of the first round matchups. Also going to give out my five favorite plays in the four college football playoff games as well. We'll look at week 16 in the NFL. PJ Pick 5, give out some bets there. We'll look at my five favorite player props of the weekend in the NFL. Lucy Burge going to join us later on in the show, give out some of her picks during model making money. Then we'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays of the day. As always, any questions, comments, best bets that you guys have for us, it can be in college football, college hoops, it can be in the NFL, anything that's on your guys' mind, let us know. You can go to twitch.tv/BetQL or YouTube/Odyssey Sports. If you also miss any part of the show over the next 30 minutes, you can check out the Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Let's get the show rolling on a Thursday. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line. Caroline Fenton joins us. Give her a follow on X at Caroline Fenton 1. This is great work for Yahoo Sports, Sirius XM, College Radio as well. Caroline, we finally made it. College football playoff kicks off tomorrow. No more previewing all these games. We finally get to watch and see how they all play out. We get the Battle of Indiana tomorrow night between the Hoosiers and the Irish. Should be a really interesting game. The total's actually starting to tick up a little bit. It's at 52.5. Notre Dame's still a 7.5-point favorite. Your thoughts on that game tomorrow night?
Yeah, the Indiana State Championship game. Christmas is coming a little bit early. And I've been loving all of the discussion going into the first round of these playoff games about the weather. And I love Kurt Cignetti's response of did you see our quarterback in snow against Purdue? Our quarterback's literally from Canada. Like, we are going to be fine. I don't think weather is going to be a factor in this one. I like Notre Dame minus the 7.5. But I do think that this is going to be a much more competitive game than people might realize. I do think that the general public of college football fans view Indiana as a team that benefited from a light schedule. Now, that is the truth, but Indiana also is a very effective and efficient football team. They're the number one run defense in all of college football. That's the number one matchup that I'm watching in this game. Indiana run defense versus Notre Dame's run game with Jeremiah Love and with Riley Leonard running the football. That's the matchup, I think, of the weekend. But ultimately, I think Notre Dame's size, their physicality, their talent level is just going to be a little bit too much to overcome. The other matchup that I'm watching here is Notre Dame's defensive front against Indiana's offensive line. The first time Indiana's offensive line was really, truly tested against a defensive front that is as close to what they're going to see against Notre Dame as they've seen all season long was against Ohio State. Well, Curtis Rourke dropped back 23 times. He got sacked on 5 of those dropbacks and only completed 1 pass. Indiana's offense goes through the passing game. It goes through Curtis Rourke. Yes, Tyson Lawton and Justice Ellison are a massive part of this offense, but they want to throw the football first and foremost. I don't think that Notre Dame's defensive front is going to be able to give Indiana time to do that. Overall, I think it could be a close game at halftime, but Notre Dame pulls away late. I like Notre Dame to cover this one.
Yeah, BetMGM now, the Irish have dropped down to 7-point favorites. So obviously, if you like Notre Dame, grab the 7 with the Irish. All right, Caroline, we got Penn State at home, whiteout Saturday, noon Eastern time, going up against SMU. Penn State, 8.5-point favorite in this game with a total of 45.5. We all know James Franklin in a big game. Is Penn State going to show up? SMU, a team from Texas, going to Happy Valley, dealing with the cold weather, last team into the field. Your thoughts on this matchup?
Yeah, you know, this is a circumstance where I think Penn State has the most favorable field, but also Penn State has the most pressure on them than any other team in this field, Ohio State included, because it's the whole narrative of James Franklin can't win the big one. And you're also going up against one, potentially two teams against Boise State in the second round if Penn State does in fact advance. Those are two teams that Penn State should beat. I like Penn State to win. I like Penn State to cover. That's so boring that I'm picking two favorites to win and to cover it back to back. But overall here, I think weather absolutely is a factor. I just made fun of the fact that Notre Dame and Indiana is not going to be a factor. I think it will be here. The other thing here is I don't think that SMU has seen a defensive player like Abdul Carter. I don't think that SMU has seen a skill position player quite like Tyler Warren. Do I think that Penn State can win the national championship? Frankly, no, I don't, because they don't have enough speed and they don't have enough talent on the perimeter offensively. But what do they need to do in order to beat SMU? Well, let's be really, really physical up front on the defensive front, which is what Penn State is best at. And it's Drew Aller getting the ball out quick to Tyler Warren, and it's Penn State running the football with Nick Singleton and Catron Allen. If they stick to that, if they get the ball in the hands of their best playmakers, those three that I just mentioned, Tyler Warren, Singleton, and Allen, I think Penn State is going to be able to win, and I think that Penn State is going to be able to win handedly. This whole narrative about James Franklin not being able to win the big one, well, is it, can he not win big games, or can he not beat Michigan and Ohio State? Those are two completely different conversations. This SMU team is very good. This SMU team has absolutely exceeded expectations, but this SMU team isn't Ohio State of 2024. This SMU team isn't Michigan of 2023. I think overall, Penn State is just too physical for this team to overcome, especially in Happy Valley.
Another team with a lot of pressure on them this weekend is Texas. They're 12-point favorites against Clemson with the total of 51.5. Caroline, Texas has just been sitting around for the last 2 weeks hearing how everybody thinks they're overrated and their quarterback's no good and Dabo and Clemson are running hot. They won the ACC coming into Austin. What do you make of this game on Saturday afternoon?
And you know, too, that Dabo is going to be playing the, well, you know, we're just little old Clemson, little old us. They're going to be playing that card. Dabo is an expert at that. I like Texas to win, but I like Clemson to cover. Last time I checked, 11.5 points in the college football playoff with a coach in Dabo Swinney that's been here before. That's just a little bit too rich for my blood. But ultimately, I think Texas wins for a few reasons. First of all, I think this is a nightmare matchup for Clemson. How Clemson wants to operate offensively is hitting those explosive plays. Maybe they're not the most consistent offense, but an explosive play here, an explosive play there. That's how Clemson has been able to really get a groove offensively. Who's the number one defense that limits explosive plays? It's Texas. Texas's defensive front has carried their team really for a majority of the season. Really, Texas's defense as a whole, it's elite. It is the best defense in all of college football. Clemson's defense, however, this isn't like the Dabo Swinney coach defenses that we saw in 2015, 16, 17, 18, 19, like those years of the Clemson quote-unquote dynasty, if you really want to call it that. I won't, but we'll use that word. This isn't that. Like, this Clemson defense is not that. Texas's offense has shown that they will make mistakes, that Quinn Ewers can turn the football over. Jaden Blue hasn't been the most responsible with taking care of the football. But with Texas's offensive line back at full strength, Kelvin Banks was out in the SEC championship game, their Outland Trophy winning left tackle. He'll be back in this game. So I just don't think that Clemson's defense is equipped to take advantage of this Texas offensive line and to take advantage of some of the mistakes that we've seen this Texas offense make. It'll be closer than an 11.5, but I like Texas taking this one at home.
All right, so we got two favorites and one underdog so far against the spread. Caroline, final game of the four is going to be Ohio State, Tennessee, which I think a lot of people, this is the game they're looking forward to the most. And obviously, Oregon's got a brutal draw getting the winner of this game. Should be a really good one. Ohio State favored by 7.5 with a total of 46.5. Who do you like in Buckeyes and the Vols?
Totally brutal draw for Oregon, but I'm going to be different here, and I'm going Tennessee, not just to cover, but Tennessee to win outright. The two matchups that I'm watching here, obviously, it's going to be Dylan Sampson against this Ohio State run defense. Now, Michigan was able to kind of take advantage of that. Michigan just continued to pound the rock and pound the rock, even when everyone in the stadium and everyone in America knew what Michigan's game plan was going to be going into that game, and it's run the football because, frankly, they can't really do anything else. Well, Tennessee can do that better. They can run the football and they can do it better than Michigan does. So I like Tennessee in that matchup. I'll look at the other side of things. Ohio State offensively versus Tennessee defensively. Tennessee's defense doesn't get enough credit. Everyone wants to talk about Nico Yamaleava and Josh Heupel and this high-powered offense. That's not this Tennessee team. Tennessee has been winning football games by running the football with Dylan Sampson and by playing elite defense. I think they are the deepest and most talented defensive line in the SEC and potentially even in all of college football. Ohio State's offensive line, they're dealing with some injury issues. They're down their left tackle, Seth McLaughlin. Their center is out for the rest of the season. We saw that be an issue for Ohio State to run the football and to protect Will Howard against Michigan. So Michigan was able to get after them. Tennessee is going to be able to get after them even better. I think this is a perfect matchup for Tennessee. We talk a lot about the weather. Yes, it's going to be cold. Yes, their quarterback's from Southern California. Yes, their running back's from South Louisiana. But I think that Tennessee is equipped to both handle the cold and to travel well with their two strengths in running the football and playing good defense. So I like Tennessee to win outright with this one. And this is my bold prediction. Tennessee wins outright. Ryan Day gets fired and Mike Vrabel is the next head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Wow. Yeah, that would certainly be something. You would think if Ryan Day loses that game, he's definitely going to be gone in Columbus. Caroline, before we feels let you like go, it. In about 30 seconds before all the games begin, we got the bracket. What's your national title game and who do you have winning it all?
My national title game is Oregon and Georgia. I think that having the bye is going to prove to be invaluable for some of these teams. I think overall, Georgia's issues, you know, whether the question marks with Carson Beck or some of the turnovers that they've seen or some inconsistencies on defense will rear its ugly head and an incredibly consistent team in Oregon. So I like Oregon to win the national championship eventually.
All right, there you go. Caroline Fenton, give her a follow on X at Caroline Fenton 1, Yahoo Sports, Sirius XM College Radio as well. Caroline, happy holidays. Enjoy all the games. We'll talk again soon.
Absolutely. Happy holidays. Enjoy it.
Yeah, you as well. All right, guys, let's keep it rolling here on Send It In. Time for PJ Pick 5 to give out my 5 favorite plays in the college football playoff. So we've obviously gone through all these games a lot over the last couple weeks. These are my 5 favorite plays. Favorite bet of the 4 games going to be that Clemson team total under at 20.5 points. 19.5 is cool too. Caroline was talking about Texas got the best defense in college football. I don't really see how Clemson scores a lot on Texas. You think about Clemson this year, they played 2 SEC teams. They played Georgia, 3 points in that game. They played South Carolina at home, 14 points in that game. And now they're facing a defense better than both of those teams in Texas. Georgia was obviously healthy towards the beginning of the year. They didn't give up a touchdown against Clemson. I don't know how the Tigers are going to score much on Texas. And Sark, I think, is going to have a conservative game plan early in this game, right? The only shot Clemson has of keeping this game close is what Georgia did the 2 times that they beat Texas. It's you either jump out on them and you get a lead or you stay even with them the entire time, right? If Sark has a lead and he's able to lean on the run game and defense, he doesn't have a negative game script and ask Quinn Ewers to come from behind, Texas is in good shape. So the key to this game is critical, and I think Sark is going to lean on his defense and field position. He's not going to ask Quinn Ewers to do too much. And Dabo knows the only way for Clemson to win this game is a low-scoring slugfest as well. So I don't think either team really minds playing a lower-scoring game. Definitely Clemson. Texas, I think their defense shines. I'll go team total under 20.5 points for Clemson. Next bet's going to be SMU +8.5 against Penn State. I'm taking SMU outright as well. I think they win this game against Penn State. They match up well with the Nittany Lions. What are the 2 things you got to do if you're an opposing defense going up against Penn State? You got to be able to stop the run, and you got to pressure the quarterback. SMU does both of those things very well. If you can stop Catron Allen and Nick Singleton, and you can force Penn State to be one-dimensional, and you can force Drew Aller to beat you as a passer, that's where SMU tends to do pretty good things. And offensively, they're good. Kevin Jennings is a mobile quarterback. Rashad Smith's a really good running back. Rhett Lashley is a very good play caller and also a head coach. SMU the last couple years has been one of the most balanced teams in college football in terms of offense and defense. How many times do we see in football in general, whether it's the NFL or whether it's college, you have a team that's great on offense, terrible on defense or vice versa. They're great on defense and terrible on offense. SMU's kind of one of those teams that's pretty good on both sides of the ball. I know the weather is a concern, team from Texas going up to Happy Valley, but I think this game being played at noon Eastern time while the sun is still shining, opposed to like Tennessee playing at night at 8 p.m. in Columbus, I think it's going to be an advantage for SMU. We've talked about the last couple weeks, a lot of time in college sports, these teams that are the last teams into the field tend to play pretty well. I'll take SMU plus the points, take some money line against Penn State as well. Next up, speaking of that Ohio State and Tennessee game, I'll lay the 7.5 with Ohio State. I'm going to wait around to see if we get a 7 with the Buckeyes. If we don't, I'm going to pull the trigger on Ohio State at 7.5. Think about Tennessee this season and what they've done in true road games. They struggled at Oklahoma. They struggled at Arkansas. They struggled at Georgia after that first quarter. Just too many times this season, Tennessee has gone on long scoring droughts. They've had like five games this season, where they've been shut out for a half of football in SEC play. And I know Michigan was able to win a 13-10 game against Ohio State. I don't know if Tennessee is going to be able to do that. Ohio State, there's just something about that Michigan game where they just play too conservative. And instead of trying to win the game, they play not to lose it. Well, I think Ryan Day is going to do the opposite. He knows his job is on the line. There's no playing not to lose. You got to play to win this game. You got to go for it. Your job's on the line. Have to win this game. So I think Ohio State's going to be aggressive. All they've heard for the last 3 weeks is how bad they are and how they lost to Michigan and how their coach is going to get fired and how they're a terrible team. People, unless you're in Ann Arbor, really aren't going to remember that Ohio State lost to Michigan unless they go on to win the national championship. Still one of the best defenses in college football. Still loaded playmakers on offense. I'll take Ohio State -7.5 against Tennessee. We got Indiana +7.5 against Notre Dame. That'll be my fourth bet. Again, I like the Irish to win. I think Indiana keeps it within the number, though. Two teams that want to run the ball and play good defense. Kirk Cignetti is a very good coach. Interesting thing to watch in this game. Notre Dame this year has only played two games that have been decided by one score. Indiana's only played one game this season, decided by one score. That was against Michigan, a team that's similar to Notre Dame, great defense, wants to run the football. So if this game is tightly played, like I think it will be, I think that favors the underdog to hang around and keep it close, because neither team, the favorite especially, is really used to playing in kind of those close games. I'll take Indiana plus the points. It's gone down to 7 now, so still see if you can grab that hook with the Hoosiers. And then finally, I like Clemson's team total under. I also like Texas -12 as well. I'd lay the points with the Longhorns on Saturday. I see this game being like a 27-10, 31-13 kind of game. I like Texas to roll. I think their offense will do enough. They lean on their defense, force Clemson into some turnovers. Cade Klubnik's had a good year against bad competition, but against these upper echelon teams, He looks like the Cade Klubnik that we saw for much of last season with Clemson. Remember, this is a team that's only into the playoff because of the auto bid. This is a three-loss team that really hasn't fared well against good teams this season. I'll lay the 12 with Texas against Clemson. All right, let's go to the pick five in the NFL now, giving out my five favorite bets in week 16. We will start with the Steelers. I like them +6.5. Against the Ravens. This is just too many points, folks. When these two teams play, it's always close. It's always decided by 3 points. It's always low scoring. The underdog in this rivalry, 16-2-1 against the spread since 2015. Mike Tomlin, 5-0 against the spread in his career against Lamar Jackson. All of those games have been with Tomlin as an underdog. TJ Watt looks like he's going to play. George Pickens is questionable. We'll see what happens with him. If the Ravens show up and they don't beat themselves, if they don't have any turnovers, if they don't commit any bad penalties, if they don't drop any passes, if Tucker makes all his field goals, the Ravens probably cover this game. The problem is they don't do that against the Steelers, and they haven't for the last 4 or 5 years. So until they do, there's no way I can bet them, and there's no way I could lay 6.5 points with them, especially this late in the season with so much on the line with the AFC North. In this game, I'll take Pittsburgh plus the points. I'll also take Philadelphia in another divisional battle going up against the Commanders. Give me Eagles -3.5. Now, this game, back when these two teams played on Thursday night in Week 11, the Eagles were favored by 3.5 at home. Now, fast forward, here we are to Week 16, and the Eagles are 3.5-point favorites again on the road. Problem is, the Eagles haven't lost since then, and Washington has not looked like the same team. Eagles defense is so good. They did a great job of containing Jaden Daniels the first time around. I think they're going to cause problems for Jaden Daniels again. Even if A.J. Brown doesn't go, Saquon Barkley, DeVonta Smith back, Jalen Hurts looked very good against the Steelers. I'll take the Eagles -3.5 against Washington. Give me the Patriots +14 against the Buffalo Bills. I know that's a scary one, but really it's all about a fade of Buffalo and how brutal their schedule has been over the last 5 weeks, and I expect a little bit of a letdown from the Bills. Their last four games, Kansas City, San Francisco, the Rams, and then Detroit on Sunday. I mean, those are four big-time games, prime-time games, high-stake games. Now you come back, your co-favorites to win the Super Bowl. Everybody's talking about how great your quarterback is. He's going to win the MVP. And you got a divisional game where you're favored by 2 touchdowns. I don't think the Bills lose, but I don't think they cover 14. I'll take the Pats plus the points. Another divisional dog I like this week, the Cleveland Browns +7.5 against the Bengals. The Bengals, we have talked about them so much on this show, and consistently over and over again, the Bengals, when they play bad teams, they win those games, and they cover the spread. The difference is the Browns are the one bad team that Joe Burrow has struggled against in his career. The Browns have just had his number. He has not played well against them. I know DTR is playing for Cleveland, but that honestly might be a better thing, because even though Jameis is the better player and he does score points for you, obviously he has those killer turnovers and interceptions as well. So DTR going up against a very bad Bengals defense. Joe Burrow struggling against that Browns defense. Bengals have only won one game at home this year. I'll take the Browns +7.5 against the Bengals. And finally, give me the Lions -6.5 against the Bears. I don't understand why this is under 7. David Montgomery's hurt, sure. You just plug Jahmyr Gibbs in. And I think the Lions look forward to the narrative of when they go on the road and they have to play outdoors, because there's so much talk about that with Jared Goff and how much he struggles. We saw what they did to the Packers in Lambeau. Dan Campbell and Jared Goff are incredible against the spread off of a loss. I expect them to bounce back, even with all the injuries on defense. I'll take the Lions -6.5 against the Bears. All right, a promo from our friends here at BetMGM. And account holders, make sure that you will receive a Pro Football Same Game Parlay boost token. You can score a bigger payout if your wager with the short game boost token hits. From our friends at BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas, part of the 7 days of parlays. All right, real quick, PJ's props here, NFL Week 16. We will go Derrick Henry under 18.5 rushing attempts for the Ravens against the Steelers. The Ravens right now are in the middle of playing 3 games in a span of 10 days. They had to play the Giants Sunday, they get the Steelers Saturday, and then they get the Texans on Wednesday. So they got to be smart about their workload and their usage for Derrick Henry. And also, you look at the Ravens this season, when they have played divisional opponents, Derrick Henry has not gotten more than 16 carries in any of those games. 2 games against the Bengals, 1 against the Browns, 1 against the Steelers. He's had no more than 16 carries. We'll go under 18.5 rushing attempts for Derrick Henry against the Steelers. Also go Jahmyr Gibbs, over 76.5 rushing yards against the Bears. David Montgomery's injury reminds me a lot of when New Orleans had Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara together. When Sean Payton and Drew Brees were there, they were a great 1-2 running back tandem. Ingram was gone to start the year, and Kamara took over as like running back one, and he went off. And I think Jahmyr Gibbs is about to do the same thing with David Montgomery out for the year. I think 76.5 is too low. We'll go over 76.5 rushing yards for Jahmyr Gibbs. Michael Penix making his NFL debut on Sunday against the Giants. I'll take Penix longest completion over 36.5 yards against the G-men. If you watched Penix in college at Washington, he was an excellent deep ball thrower. Washington hit a ton of explosive plays. They had a lot of long touchdowns, and that Giants defense, as we know, is not very good. They give up a bunch of explosive plays. Lamar and the Ravens, they crushed them last week with a bunch of those. So I think Michael Penix is going to air it out this week. That's one of the big reasons why the Falcons made the move, is because Cousins was just not pushing the ball down the field. Longest completion over 36.5 yards for Michael Penix. I'll go under 228.5 passing yards for Brock Purdy against the Dolphins. No Isaac Arendo for the Niners, it looks like, on Sunday, so it's going to be running back by committee. I think Purdy and the Niners are going to struggle to find a running game, so they're going to lean on him. And if there's one area the Dolphins have been good this season, it has been against the pass. So much familiarity with Shanahan against Mike McDaniel. I'll go under passing yards for Brock Purdy. And then finally, Rico Dowdle. I'll also take his over rushing yards at 73.5 against the Bucks. Dowdle's been excellent for Dallas in the last four games. 18 or more carries in the last four games and 100 or more rushing yards in his last three games. Tampa's got a great offense. Best way to neutralize that if you're Dallas is to keep their offense on the sideline, run the ball with Dowdle, chew the clock, possess the ball. I think that's what they'll do. I'll go over 73.5 rushing yards for Rico Dowdle. All right, let's go to Model Making Money now. Check in with Lucy Burge here on a Thursday. Looks like maybe spotting some green a little bit, Lucy. I like it. Gonna match
yes,
again.
PJ.
Very good.
What do you know? Yes, this is green, PJ. We are definitely matching. I think we should just match every day as we are best friends. So yeah, congratulations on now knowing that we were matching every day for 2 weeks, PJ. Our outfits were the same color every day for 2 weeks. So I thought that was beautiful, wasn't it?
It was beautiful. Props to you and Sean for coordinating that. When you tweeted that out, I thought it was incredible.
Big props to Sean. Sean would tell me before every show.
Yes, that's what he said.
He would describe in such great detail what color you were wearing. And he would say like a sky blue, a Carolina blue, perhaps like a gray, a tan. It was beautiful. It was perfect. Good job, Sean.
Did you buy anything to match anything that I was wearing, or did you already have all that stuff?
You know what, PJ? I already had it, which even more so makes us more connected.
That's true.
And you know what? I will say, PJ. Yes. So last time we were matching, I knew. I woke up that morning and I was like, "You're going to be wearing blue." I knew it. And I had it ready. I had it ready to go because
that Lions blue.
Blue,
Lucy. Well, today we're going with green, but unfortunately, the Broncos and the Chargers. They're not green. No, the Broncos and Chargers are not green. Does the BetQL model like anything in that game, Lucy, or are they going with something else?
Well, they are going with something else. Knicks plus 2.5 against the Timberwolves is 5-star play for tonight. Knicks have won their last three games. They're coming off of covering the spread against the Magic. Timberwolves are 4-8 against the spread at home this year. So 5-star play tonight, Knicks plus 2.5 against the Timberwolves.
Very good. All right, Lucy, what about that Broncos-Chargers game? What are some of your bets that you like tonight?
Yeah, so I like the Broncos to cover here. Broncos plus 2.5 against Chargers. Broncos have covered in their last five games, and they've won their last four games. Chargers have failed to cover in their last two at home and have only covered in two of their last four. Chargers have also lost three of their last four games, and they have lost their last two at home. So Broncos plus 2.5, I like very much in this one.
All right, very good. Any other NFL bets, Lucy, like this weekend?
I do like the Lions. I'm taking the Lions -6.5 against the Bears. The Bears have lost their last eight. They have failed to cover. I'm sorry, Sean, but they failed to cover their last two games and five of their last eight. Lions are 5-1 against the spread on the road. 9-4-1 against the spread overall this year. They are 15-5 against the spread in their last 20 games against NFC North opponents. So Lions -6.5.
I love it. It's all right, Lucy. Before the show started, Sean was like, how are the Lions only 6.5-point favorites?
Right.
So I think Sean is going to be betting the Lions in that game as well. What about college football, Lucy? Anything you like this weekend?
Yeah, so actually, you know what, Sean? I'm going to pick it back up here for you and take Notre Dame -7. Also, to win the national championship. I believe I gave that out also already. So I'm excited about this one. So they are 19-1 straight up in their last 20 games against teams ranked 10-25. Indiana has failed to cover in two of their last three games. So Notre Dame -7.
Lucy, you know, that's a perfect way to end the segment because do you know what color the leprechaun wears?
PJ, green. Green is the color.
I might have to switch my play now to Notre Dame -7.5.
And we have to wear gold.
That's true. Well, tune in to find out when Lucy's on next, what color we'll wear, and we're going to be matching. I love it. Lucy Burge joining us here on Send It In, Model Making Money. Lucy, have a great weekend. We'll catch up again soon.
Thank you, PJ. I'll talk to you soon.
You got it. For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. Ranks each game on a 1-to-5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, guys, time to wrap up the show. DRUP06 likes the Irish -7.5 as well. Look, now that you're getting a 7, DRUP, obviously, if you like him at 7.5, make sure you grab that 7-2 against Indiana. I would expect that line to keep going back and forth between 7 and 7.5. As for our favorite plays for tonight, we had a great night last night in our best bets. Try and keep it going. Bo Nix over 21.5 rushing yards tonight. So get this. Bo Nix and the Broncos already played a Thursday night road game this season. It was against the Saints. Bo Nix had 10 carries for 75 yards in that game. young quarterback on the road, not as much time to watch film. So if a play breaks down, Bo's just going to take off. I'm taking over 21.5 rushing yards tonight for Bo Nix. He's had 5 interceptions in his last 2 games, so maybe the confidence is starting to waver a little bit. I like Bo over his rushing yards tonight. I'm also taking Bo and the Broncos to cover the 2.5 against the Chargers. That is my dog of the day. Folks, the Chargers this season, if they play a good team with a winning record, they just don't win that game. It's pretty much that simple. We'll take Denver plus the points. And my best bet, we got one college bowl game tonight, Georgia Southern, Sam Houston State. We're taking the over at 48.5. Georgia Southern's got one of the worst defenses in the group of 5, and then Sam Houston State, a lot of their top secondary guys are going to be sitting out due to the transfer portal and opted out to play. So we're going over 48.5 in Georgia Southern and Sam Houston State. Thanks again, Caroline Fenton, Lucy Burge, for joining us on the show today. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Enjoy the college football playoff games. Nick Ashew with you tomorrow. We'll see you all Monday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.